Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. I don't know about you, but I got to pray for your gluttony and my gluttony, and pray that we have real good understanding of what we're about to look at. Amen? Amen. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us and blessed us with. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of the living God. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that is given every believer in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the book of Revelation and all the information and truths that we have in that book. Give us understanding once again of what we're about to look at in Revelation. Give us the spiritual understanding we need to spiritually function in this world that God has placed us. I pray that the love of God will just fill this place. And I pray that the forgiveness of God will fill this place. I pray that everything you are that you've given us to know will fill this place. We love you so much and we want to love you more. And we want others to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and the blessings that come with it. Father, you're everything to us. And I am thankful that we can understand that. All we need to know about it down here in this world, in this life. Now open up our minds to this printout. And let it speak to us as it should. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, take your printout and let's begin. You'll notice Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. Revelation chapter 4, verse 5. The title is The, not A, but The Throne Room of Heaven. The throne room of heaven would be the third heaven, for that is the dwelling place of Almighty God. Let's begin with verse 5a. Verse 5a. I hope you have something to write with. We do have a lot of notes to add to what you already have on your printout. Verse 5. And out of. Underline the two words out of. And it means something is being introduced. Something is being introduced. And out of the, not a, but the throne. Underline the word throne. We're talking about the throne of God. So this word throne indicates God's very presence. And out of the throne of God, the throne of sovereign power and rulership, preceded lightnings and thunderings. Underline those two words, lightnings and thunderings. And here's a note you might want to attach to that. God is about to act in divine judgment upon the earth. God is about to act in divine judgment. And by the way, these divine judgments are non-negotiable. They have been set in stone, you might say, by divine decree in eternity past when nothing existed except the Holy Trinity. So we're talking about divine judgments that are non-negotiable. When you see lightning and hear thunder, you know a storm is coming. A storm is coming. Now remember, John is addressing people going through terrible times and dark days. And they are asking the question that many have been asking for a long, long time. Why hasn't God done something? Or why doesn't God do something? Well, listen to the response from John. You can hear it yet. You can't hear it yet, John would answer. But a storm that is non-negotiable, that is coming from God, it is divine judgment. But a storm is coming through which God will pour out His justice upon the earth, that is, the physical earth, and all unbelieving mankind. All right, let's look at verse 5b. And there were seven lamps. Underline the word lamps. Several things here. Number one, these lamps are self-sustaining. These lamps are self-sustaining because they are what? They are the lamps of the Spirit of God. Number two, they are readily available to the living God. They are readily available to the living God. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit is executor of God's will. The Holy Spirit is executor of God's will. What does that mean? He is always ready at all times to carry out God's orders. Well, let's look at Isaiah 11:2. Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Now make this note, please. Here is the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about that before. Here is the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Why is it so important that Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled, be dominated, be persuaded by who? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, let's reread. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. So here, and I'll repeat this, is the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. Can the believer in Jesus Christ have the sevenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit? If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you are divinely persuaded by Him, then you are going to receive not just the Holy Spirit Himself, but you're going to receive the sevenfold ministry operative in your life as a child of God who has chosen freely to surrender and submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's a question. Who gave the instructions for the building of the tabernacle? God did. God did. And note the precision of the plans. Can I ask you a question? Underline the word precision, please. Here is the Holy Spirit we're talking about of the New Testament. What did He do? He gave the instructions for the building of the tabernacle. Is this same Holy Spirit in you at this moment, the believer in Jesus Christ? Your answer is yes. All right, now drop down. Let's reread. Note the precision of the plans. Is this Holy Spirit, that is the same Holy Spirit that gave instructions for the building of the tabernacle, is He going to give you precision plans to live out the life of Jesus Christ? What would be your answer? Do you have to have precision plans to be a servant of God and to have the forming of Christ in you, the child of the living God? All right. So the word precision is very important. God is not going to give you a sloppy Christian life. If you really have the Holy Spirit, you're going to live the Christian life in precision by the Word of the living God. And Ephesians 5:18 is going to be the most important scripture in your life as a child of the living God. For without the Holy Spirit, you cannot live a life of precision that is going to be accepted by most holy God. Is that making sense to you? So if you're a Christian, the most important verse is what? Ephesians 5:18. I'll say it again. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be empowered, that you may have the spiritual impact that God wants you to have as He allows you to live your Christian life on the face of this earth. So note the precision. Just underline the word precision. You'll come back to that often as you look at this often. Note the precision of the plans. Where do you find the plans that the Holy Spirit is going to execute in your life as a child of God? It's going to find it in the Word of the Living God, which is the Bible. All right? So can you live the Christian life ignorant of the Word of God? Can you live the Christian life just guessing God wants you to do this or God wants you to do that? No. What is God? He is a God of precision. And He has given you the same Holy Spirit that gave instructions about the tabernacle in the Old Testament. So, here is note one. The Christian is to live the Christian life by the precision of the plans that are executed by the Holy Spirit in the submissive life of the believer in Jesus Christ. So note the precision, not sloppiness. God does not want a sloppy Christian. And He wants you to live according to the plans He has already given you in the Word of the Living God. Now everything, underline the word everything. Everything had to be made exactly. Does God want everything that you are? The answer is yes. All that I am is to be given unto Him, that it may be used by the Holy Spirit as that Christian, that particular Christian, is obedient to the Lord and His Word. Everything, not just some things, everything had to be made exactly according to the pattern. Our pattern is the Word of the Living God in Jesus Christ. To the exact, underline the word exact. Coming from the word precision, we have what? We have the word exact. Talking about exact measurements and specifications. And it all came about through a man named Bezalel. God, listen to this, God had filled him. Who fills the believer in Christ? All right, God gives the Holy Spirit to every believer in Christ. So the Holy Spirit is a gift of grace that is given by God. You can't earn the Holy Spirit. There's nothing you can do to deserve the Holy Spirit. When you accept Christ as Lord and Savior, God willingly, by His grace, puts the Holy Spirit in you. How long is the Holy Spirit going to stay in you? He's going to stay in you as long as you're down here, doesn't He? All right? So He's necessary if I am going to live the life and carry out the life of God in precision and not be sloppy about serving the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. So God had filled him with the Spirit, this man. Was this particular filling, was it necessary? All right, it was necessary. And through Bezalel, the Spirit of God built the tabernacle. Notice who did not build the tabernacle. Also notice who did build the tabernacle. Who built it? It wasn't the man. It was the Holy Spirit through this particular man that God gave the Holy Spirit to that everything was executed. All right, here we go. And through him, this man, the Spirit of God built the temple. So what does that reveal? The Spirit fulfills the plans of God. Now, let me say it in a negative way. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot fulfill the plan of God. So therefore, Ephesians 5:18 is an absolute must. It is an absolute necessity. Remember, you cannot worship God. You cannot serve God. You cannot live a life of precision and exactness according to the Word of God without the Holy Spirit bringing this about in you and through you. So you can't say, look at what I did, God, and God would respond, it wasn't you. You couldn't have done it if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in you that I gave you to live the Christian life the way I have asked you to live it. So I'm not here to decide how I want to live the Christian life, how I want to worship, how I want to serve. I am here to get into the Word of God and let the Word of God, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, educate me as a child of God that I may learn what God wants me to be and what God wants me to do. And it's all going to be by Him empowering me that I will truly be submissive because I want to be. It's a volitional choice that I have made to serve Him and therefore the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, put them together, don't ever take them apart, and live with them and by them as long as God allows you to live here on this earth. So the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, fulfills the plans of God. He did then, and that's the way He works today. All right, let's continue. On the day of Pentecost, underline the word Pentecost. Pentecost, the beginning of the church age or the age of grace. So on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was given. There it is. A divine gift was given to believers that accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. It was given to the first followers of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. Now, the same Spirit that translated all these plans and blueprints. Your plans are the Word of God. Your blueprints are the Word of God. And measurements into reality. Now, let's reread this. On the day of Pentecost, the beginning of the church age or the age of grace, the beginning when the Holy Spirit would be given to every believer and would not leave them like He did in the Old Testament. He would step into someone's life. He would step out of someone's life. But that changed in the church age that you are now living in. Now, can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Can you sadden Him? Yes, you can. All right, now, can that be changed? Yes. How do we do that? We pray and ask Jesus Christ, our high priest, for forgiveness. All right, here we go. To do the same work, here you have the Holy Spirit. He's given to this guy and He's given to the people. Now, let's reread. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was given, divine gift, to the first followers of Messiah. Very, very specific. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, you don't get the Holy Spirit. You can say, well, I'm going to follow this denomination, or I'm going to follow this human being. What does the Bible say? Jesus Christ is this. He is the way, He is the truth. No man cometh unto the Father except through the Son, Jesus Christ. When was Jesus Christ appointed Savior? In eternity past, by divine decree, once again, that is non-negotiable. It is never, ever going to change. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full on the cross on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. And brother, your sins have been paid for. Well, what will send a person to hell? It is unbelief in Jesus Christ. And your unbelief must what? Be changed into belief in Jesus if you're going to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Born again from above by the grace of God. It's by His grace, because you and I will not do anything to deserve it or earn it. It will come as a free gift as we believe in Jesus Christ. All right, let's reread again. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God was given to the first followers of Messiah, the same Spirit that translated all these plans and blueprints and measurements into reality. How does the Bible come off the page and become spiritual reality and make spiritual sense? It is the Holy Spirit. He is the one who makes the Word of God, the Christian life, into reality. That same Spirit was given to His people, given to you. Why? To do the same work, to translate the purposes of God into reality. As it is written, listen to this, I will put my Spirit within you and, you want to underline this word, and cause you to walk in my statutes. Underline the word statutes. It means something already established. What is already established by God that He wants us to read, to digest, and to live by and walk in? It is nothing other than the Word of the living God. When somebody comes up with something that they have established, they have a new religion, a new belief system, what is going to be your response to that? You're going to say, I have been saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I have the Word of the living God, and I'm going to live by the Word of God that has already been established through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. You better get used to it, because if the Democrats keep on going the way they're going, they're going to step into Christianity. They're going to step into the church. They're going to try to rip Jesus Christ out of existence, and are already headed that way, and they're doing a good job at it as I speak. All right, let's go to page 2. Page 2, you see that word once again, statutes. In the Hebrew language means appointed times and measures. You see, God's purposes, God's will, where do you find the will of God? In the Word of God. Now, if you don't want to get in the Word of God, you're going to get in your own word. And you're going to become your own little G-O-D. And you're going to say, you know what, this is the way I believe. This is what the way I see it. This is the way I think about it. So this is the way I'm going to live my life. Damn you. That is the fastest way you're going to get to hell that I know of. You will be damned if you believe that. Appointed times and measures. You see, God's purposes, God's will and plans for your life. Where do you find this stuff? In the Word of God. Or just as detailed, is your Christian life detailed? How specific is Christianity in your life? What about that word precise? And precise as the plans and measurements of the tabernacle. Did He build a sloppy looking tabernacle? Was everything in its proper place? Done a certain way? My friends, as a Christian, are you in your proper place? Are you doing things a certain way unto the living God? Are you living by the Word of Almighty God that you're going to impact those that are around you and the world that you live in? His plans are perfect. Is the Word of God without fault, without error? It is perfect. Why is it so? It came from God Himself. I know man wrote it down. You know man wrote it down. But God gave it. It is a divine word. Therefore, it is perfect. His plans are perfect. And not only for your life, but for every day of your life, for every moment. That's why He gives you the Spirit of God. The Spirit gives you the power to fulfill God's plan. So you're telling me that human power is not enough to live the Christian life? That's exactly what he says. It's going to take spiritual power. Spiritual power is supernatural power because your enemy is supernatural. Therefore, you've got to have a supernatural power to overcome the supernatural enemy that is trying to conflict you in every way possible. So the Spirit gives you the power to fulfill God's plan. Have you asked for it yet? To move in His perfect will. So you're telling me that I cannot move in God's perfect will by His Word unless the Holy Spirit is in charge of my life? That's exactly what the Word of God says. And to walk in the exact footsteps. Notice the word exact. Footsteps down to the exact measurements and specifications of His appointed purpose for your life. What in the world are you doing with the body that God has loaned you? It's not your body. Remember the Catholicism? You remember what I shared the other Wednesday night about the Pope? When I asked about abortion, Joe Biden, right there. Which way are you going to go, Pope? Pro-choice. Pro-choice. We don't like to get into politics. Brother, you're in politics the moment, the day you are born into this world. Politics. Did that change your mind, Pope? Do we have the same Bible, Pope? Do you read the Word of God, or did you bow and give in to politics and the president? I don't care who the president is. I don't care the politics. You don't give in to politics. Amen. You stay with the Word of the living God. Amen. If you gave in and went pro-choice, what else are you going to give in to on down the road? Pope? And they say, it's my body. You better reread your Bible. It's the body God's loaned you to live and to serve Him with exactness and precision. Live by the Spirit. Move in His leading. No one allowed that phrase. Move in His leading. Can I ask you in a little different way? Who's leading you, or who are you following? There's only one person worth following. There's only one worth leading in your life. It is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And you will walk, listen to this, into your appointed footsteps. Your life is already planned out. Your days are numbered. You're living. So what kind of influence are you going to leave behind? What kind of impact are you going to leave behind? Are you going to leave a life lived by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of the living God, that those that were around you during your life say, now that he's gone, now that she's gone, I will continue living by that Word that Dad lived by, that Mom lived by, that we will still see the same spiritual impact and the power released and conquering in this house that God has given us? I thought house, shelter. If you get too big about your own house, just say, God, thank you for the shelter that you've given me down here until my life is over. My home is a shelter compared to what I will live in eternity. Live by the Spirit. Move in His leading. Move in His leading. If He doesn't lead, stand still. And know that I am God, the Bible says. You know what our problem is? We think we got to be moving all the time. If I'm standing still, nothing's being accomplished. Look at what the Bible says. There's times you need to stand still and listen to the Lord. Live by the Spirit. Move in His leading. If He stops, you stop. If He goes, you go. If He leads, you follow. And you will walk into your appointed footsteps. Let me tell you something. Can't you imagine standing before God someday and He says, I want to show you a little short, brief film. Here are the appointed footsteps of your life. Look what you missed because you wanted to make your own footprint in the world. It's like the singer said, I did it my way. Ephesians 5:18, if you don't know it by now, do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, corruption, stupidity. But be filled, underline that word filled. The word filled in the Greek means open yourself volitionally. In other words, will you make a choice to do what we've been reading? Will you make a choice to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Will you make a choice to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, that you may walk in the appointed footsteps given to you by Almighty God? Let me tell you something. When God gives you a direction to walk, walk it. It's open yourself volitionally. Make the choice. And repeatedly. Did you know this is a thing that is to be repeated? Open yourself volitionally and repeatedly to the Holy Spirit's daily guidance and control. I got a note that says, go to the notebook, Terry. Well, you don't have it. Just listen. Here's a phrase. Be filled with the, not a, but the Holy Spirit. What does it mean? Number one, this is a command, not an option. It's what? It's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not an option. Number two, this is to be the normal state for all believers, not the exception. Number three, all believers are to be available. Are you available to be filled with the Holy Spirit? All believers are to be sensitive. All believers are to be obedient to the Holy Spirit's forming of Christ in their daily life. You know what you fight more than anything and don't even know it? It's the forming of Jesus Christ in you. Because when you get so much of Jesus Christ in you, Satan knows he has no power. He'll battle you until he says to his demons and demonic army, he says, there's too much of Jesus in this one. There's nothing we can do with them anymore. We may come back from time to time, but you can't hit him. You can't hit her like you used to. My friends, you ought to see how big Jesus Christ is in this child of the living God. They're growing in Christ. Question. Can believers fill themselves? No. Believers must allow the Holy Spirit to have freedom and influence. How much freedom and influence does the Holy Spirit have in you? Human performance is not the key to effective living. Let me say this, and I thank God for the deacon body that we have. We are few in number at the moment. Somebody said we got to have more. My friends, we will only get more when the qualifications are met to be a deacon. Somebody said you need to get one, you need to get them in a hurry. I will wait upon the Lord and He will provide. To be filled is to let the Word of Christ richly dwell in you. Three things here. Jesus died for people. People are priority. People are eternal. How long have you been saved? How long have you been saved? 10, 15, 20 years? During those years, how many times did you choose to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? We brag and say, look at here at my perfect attendance. Remember when they used to give those little tags and some of them had them all the way down to the floor? They were so proud. They'd wear them to church all the time. Perfect attendance? What is perfect attendance if you have not surrendered to being empowered by the Holy Spirit? It means nothing. So how long have you been saved? During those years, how many times did you choose to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Let's go back to the printout very quickly. Verse 6a. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Question. When you get to heaven, what will catch your eye? The one on the throne. I always said, when someone dies, if they could be up there with Jesus for a day and then come back down here, I'd love to hear what they had to say. Some say, oh, I think they'd talk about this. I think they'd talk about that. I think they're going to run and say, where's my wife? Where's my husband? Where's my children? I don't think that's going to happen. Listen, when you get to heaven, what's going to catch your eye? The one on the throne. Can you imagine the holiness and the majesty that's going to come out of Him? And the peace and calmness and security that will come from Him that you have never experienced in your life as a human being, a Christian? Do you not think it'll put you down on your face, on your knees, and say, holy, holy, holy? The one on the throne will catch your eye and warm your heart, and the crystal sea before the throne will bring you peace. This encourages us to sit in the presence of the Lord, to think on Him, to talk to Him, and you will find the troubled waters of your heart and soul, they become like glass, so smooth, so peaceful, no trouble. Why is it we would sooner run out and try to make things right than sit before the Lord? We try to solve this and take care of that, only to find ourselves troubled and upset, fatigued and frustrated. Sound familiar? I do that every time I turn on TV and there's Joe Biden and Kamala. She was asked the other day, Kamala, what about the border? She did her hands like this and looked over there and went, looked this way, looked at the camera in front of her. Yeah, we got a problem. I don't understand it. I know it was as crooked as it can be to have him elected. But you know what? When I study the Bible and go over this again and again, God's in charge. And God's agenda will be carried out, I promise you. For His agenda is sovereign. And it rules. He's going to bring about something. He's bringing about something as I speak. But you know what our focus is to be? Witness for Jesus. Share the Word of God all you can with all those that are around you. Point. Don't wait until you get to heaven to experience the glassy sea of peace. Make time daily to take a trip to heaven in your spirit, to to sit in the throne room? Terry, are you telling me that I can sit in the throne room right now? Yes. Yes. The opportunity is yours for the taking. Verse 6b, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes and behind. Here's a little note. Nothing escapes their vision. Nothing escapes their vision. In fact, they know all that goes on in the universe. Verse 7. The first living creature was like a lion. The second creature like a calf or an ox. The third creature had the face of a man. And the fourth creature was like a flying eagle. Go to page 3. Top of the page. Page 3. Notice the four forms represent whatever is noblest, strongest, wisest, and swiftest in nature. Notice the likeness in each instance extended only to the face. Verse 8. And the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes all over. And within, underneath their wings, and day and night, without interruption, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the ruler of all, who was and who is and who is to come." Listen to this, folks. The unchanging, eternal God. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this book of Revelation. We know there's a storm coming. We have read about it. We can't say, "Oh, I don't know." Yes, we do know. We don't know the full extent of it. It will be terrible. It will be like no man has ever seen or felt. It is so. So I pray that Ephesians 5:18 will be in your prayer every day. It is a necessity. You can't even live that day, a Christian, unless the Holy Spirit is empowering you, persuading you, forming Christ in you. I thank you so much for the Holy Spirit given to every believer. Because without Him, we'd fall on our face in every attempt to live for You. But now we have a supernatural power to face a supernatural enemy in a spiritual realm. And I am thankful if we'll just surrender and begin living by the blueprints, the plans that are very precise, that have already been established. We call it the Bible. Live by the Word of God and His power. Holy Spirit, we want the sevenfold ministry in us, that we'll have that ability to counsel, and we'll have knowledge. We'll have knowledge on how to take the Word of God and to apply it in the situations we find ourselves in. We'll have clarity in our daily lives to live for You, to make decisions for You. Father, I just pray, Holy Spirit, go to work in us. Go to work in us, forming Christ and saying, "Do what I ask You to do, and I'll do My work in you and through you. And God will love it." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand.